Blog Talk Radio.
You are now tuning in to Wellness and Faith with Sherry Weary, where we question, explore, love, support, encourage, and make spiritual wellness a priority. So get ready to exercise your faith.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to Wellness and Faith with Sherry Weary. I'm your host, and as always, I'm so excited to have you join me for tonight as we make spiritual wellness a priority. So for tonight's show, we'll continue with our hashtag moment for the month, and the hashtag for the month of March is No Compromise. This is actually the last time that we'll do the No Compromise hashtag, and starting next week, we will go into our new hashtag moment for the month. We'll also go into a series discussing the miracles of Jesus that are found in the New Testament during our segment titled To Believe or Not to Believe. And we'll continue with our new segment that we started this month titled Let's Derail, where I'll continue with making my weekly confession. And then in honor of Women's History Month, which we celebrated all month long here, we will discuss a young lady who is making a major impact at the age of 11 years old. And then we'll end our show with a dose of spiritual wellness, and I'll give you final greetings. Remember that you can interact with me before, after, and during the show on social media with the hashtags No Compromise or Wellness and Faith or Let's Be Real. Just be sure to tag me at Weary Consult. You are also welcome to call into the show with questions or comments anytime. You can dial 347-850-1154, and if you need that number again, you can actually go to the show website, which is blogtalkradio.com/RS Wellness, and you can look at the slideshow that is presented for the show, and you can see the number once again. So let's jump right into our final No Compromise hashtag moment for this month. So the hashtag moment is actually connected to a blog. I am a guest contributor for the blog for Radiant Sunshine for the RS Counseling and Wellness Center, and I actually do a blog at least once a month on a related topic. And so the topic that I did for this month was titled No Compromise. You can also check out that blog by going to radiantsunshine.org, and with the discussion we'll be having this month related to our hashtag moment, we will be talking about how you don't want to compromise when it comes to having an idol in your life. Now, just as a disclaimer, the following discussion references information that is based upon Christianity. This discussion is in no way meant to degrade anyone who believes or carries out other religious practices that are different than what we will discuss during this particular segment. So, with the segment, again, we'll be talking about not compromising when it comes to idols. When you look at the Old Testament with the idols, you know, there's a commandment that, you know, part of the Ten Commandments talks about not having an idol, how this is one of the things that God was setting in place when he was giving the nation of Israel instructions for how they were to carry out their daily living as it comes to living a life that God wanted them to live and how he expected them to represent themselves as people of God. And so back in those times, specifically, idols were graven images. It was actually a representation of the God or the thing that a particular people were worshiping. And so with the commandment that God gave to the nation of Israel in order to set them apart, he let them know that they were not to have any idols, that they, God was the only God that they were to worship. So bringing it now into focus for 2016, what does it look like as a Christian when it comes to making sure that we actually continue to follow this particular commandment as we live out our day-to-day representation? So one, just to break it down into the practical aspect, is that an idol can be anything, any person, any object that takes the place or takes the priority of God in your life. And if you're a professed Christian, this can seem kind of odd to think that this is something that you even have to be worried about, but idols can come unintentionally and also come unexpectedly. So we want to make sure that we're consistently evaluating every person, every desire, every action in our lives to make sure being giving more importance than God in our own particular lives. So even, you know, when you think about, for instance, relationships, you know, for those of you who may be married or those of us who may be dating or if you have children, there's going to be responsibilities that you need to carry out when it comes to making sure that your husband or your wife or your boyfriend or girlfriend or your children or even your parents or siblings or extended family members are taken care of. So when it comes to even talking about that, it's not saying to negate those responsibilities. You still want to make sure that you do whatever you're supposed to do when it comes to taking care of those particular family members, but it should not interact, or it should not, rather, take precedence over your relationship with God. Now, when I say your relationship with God, that is not synonymous with church. A lot of times people will get God and church confused, and it's not the same. They are definitely related. They definitely do complement each other, but your relationship with God is not synonymous with church. For, you know, just to go into more details about what that means, let's say you go to church every single Sunday and you go to Bible study at your church and you're part of different ministries or different groups that your church may sponsor, is that if you don't have a relationship with God, those activities, although they are great and it's awesome that you're doing those things, that's not going to take the place of you actually having a personal relationship with God. Activities are not what's going to get you into heaven. So you want to make sure that even as you're making your relationship with God a precedence, that you don't confuse the fact of just being involved with a whole lot of activities as having a relationship with God and making that your priority. So even when it comes to other responsibilities with relationships and responsibilities with being a husband or wife, as I was stated earlier, or a mother or father, or anything else, or even having a job, or let's say you're an entrepreneur and you're in the process of starting a business, you know, or you're a volunteer for, you know, different organizations that you feel passionate about and you're committed to those causes, you want to make sure that none of that takes the place of you still making sure to be intentional on a daily basis about maturing and growing your relationship with God. Even something as simple as a TV show. Like, I can say that, you know, like I have a few shows that I watch on a weekly basis, well, almost weekly. I don't watch a whole lot of television, but there are some shows that I do try to catch, you know, on a weekly basis or maybe catch up on. But, you know, even a TV show is something that can become an idol where you can't do anything at all, you know, while the show is on. And let's say if, you know, God is, you know, trying to prompt your spirit and wants to, you know, speak with you and wants to spend some time with you, and you're like, oh, no, my favorite show is on, God, you got to wait. Here it is that you just missed that moment. And in that particular moment, that TV show just became an idol where it took priority over God actually wanting to spend time with you. So that's what I mean when Lucy even trying to break it down into a practical sense of in 2016 as a Christian trying to live our lives, is that we want to make sure that whatever we are doing, whatever that we are taking part in, whether it's social events or, like I said, the responsibilities with our job or our family members or even our educational pursuit. You know, whatever that we're doing, we want to make sure that God is still that priority, that we are still committed to Him above anything and anything else, and that in being committed and not making an idol out of anything or any object or any desire is that if God was to ask of us to let it go or to get rid of it or to sacrifice it, would we be willing to do so? You know, and even making that last comment makes me think of Abraham and Isaac and how, you know, God made a promise to Abram that he would be a father of many nations, and it took a long time for that promise to come to pass. And then once Abram finally gets the promised son that God told him about, you know, a few years later, God asks Abram, or Abraham, he's now Abraham at that time, to go and to sacrifice his son. And Abraham willingly went up to the mountain with his son, ready to sacrifice. And in that moment, God provided a ram that was there for it to be sacrificed instead of Isaac, his son. And so there are times where, you know, God may require of us to give up something that is so precious to us, something that's really dear to our hearts. And it's not that there's anything wrong with those particular things or whatever it is that God may be asking for us to sacrifice, whether temporarily or permanently. But at the end of the day, we have to realize that whatever we are connected to, whatever we care about, whatever is valuable in our lives, that it never becomes more valuable than God. So when it comes to our spiritual wellness, we cannot afford to compromise and to have anything in our lives that is an idol. God must always be our priority. So now we're going to go into our next section, or segment rather, which is to believe or not to believe. So this is a segment in our show where I strongly encourage you to call me in or to call live into the show, and while we discuss various reasons why it may be difficult to believe in God. The number for you to call in live is 347-850-1154. And if you need that number again, you can go to the show website and look at one of the slides. And the show website is blogtalkradio.com/RS Wellness. So for the next few weeks, we're actually going to be spending some time talking about the miracles that Jesus performed in the New Testament. And so with this, the first miracle we're going to discuss is actually the miracle of Jesus turning the water into wine. When you look at even how this whole incident unfolded with Jesus turning the water into wine, here it is, Jesus is at a wedding with his mother, and there's lots of celebration going on, and everyone's having a great time, and everything is going really well until there is a crisis where the wine actually runs out. And during celebrations, you know, in biblical times, you know, the wine definitely has significance. And what usually happened is that there would be two different sets of wine that some people or the hosts who were having the celebration, where they would take the wine that wasn't so great and that was served at first until everyone was then, you know, enjoying the wine and having a good time. And then they would bring out the best wine first. Sorry about that. They would bring out the best wine first, and then once everyone, you know, had drank all of that then and was really feeling really great at that moment, then they would bring out the wine that wasn't so great and save that for the end. So in this moment, you know, they've already had the best wine and everyone's having a really great time, and the wine runs out and they don't have anything else left at all, and the wedding celebration is not over. So in this moment, this actually would have been a point of embarrassment for the host that was throwing this wedding celebration in order to tell the guests that there was no more wine at all, and the celebration was still going on. And it may have actually resulted in people leaving as well. And so Mary, the mother of Jesus, who, you know, saw the events unfolding, went to her son, Jesus, and asked him to perform a miracle. And so Jesus' response to her was really interesting because he actually said, you know, his time has not yet come. And when you look at even the birth of Jesus, and even look at just how, you know, everything unfolded from the time Jesus was born up until this particular moment or his celebration, you see that everything that occurred had intention. And even later on, you know, during Jesus' ministry, he talks about how he is supposed to be doing the will of God. And even, you know, up until he was getting ready to be crucified, as he's praying in the Garden of Gethsemane, he's praying, asking for this cup to be passed for him, for the cross and the crucifixion are not necessary, but he says, not my will, but your will be done. And so we always see that Jesus is more focused on what the will of God is and what the purpose that he was sent here on earth. So in this response that he gives to his mother, Jesus is really clear about what he was supposed to be doing and what his plan was while he was supposed to be here on earth and coming here in order to be the redemption or the sacrificial lamb on behalf of all of humanity. But what I find really interesting is that even though he was very clear about his purpose, even though he made sure to explain this to his mother, he still went forth and he did the miracle. And so I find it interesting that here it is, this the God, is that he sends, here talking with his mother, And he makes it clear about what his plan is, but he still goes and he shows a moment of submission and obedience to his earthly mother, Mary, by still going and helping out in the situation by providing the wine. So Mary, she walks away, and as she's walking away, she tells the servants that are near him, said, whatever he tells you to do, you make sure that he does it. And so with her walking away, she knew that Jesus was more than capable of handling this situation. And here it is that we're not really sure based upon the biblical accounts that we have, is that if there were other miracles that Mary had witnessed based upon the Christian Bible that we have available, that, you know, that we see, is that in that particular version of the Bible, you don't see where there are other miracles that are talked about before the water is turned to wine. So we're not 100% sure based upon those accounts if there were other miracles that Jesus performed prior to where Mary had this confidence. It could have just been possibly that where Mary remembered the word that she was given even before she was notified by the angel that God had chosen her in order to be the vessel to bring birth to Jesus here on the earth. But regardless of what were the circumstances that made the confidence of Mary so strong that she knew by just asking and making this request that Jesus was going to go and do it, she had that confidence. And she was right, because Jesus goes and he tells the servant, all right, get some vessels, fill them up with water. And then after they're filled with water, he prays over them. And there you go. Boom, you have some wine. And so then the servants, they go and they pass around the wine, and the host, or one of the guests, rather, of the party tastes the wine, and he's like, wow, this wine is amazing. Usually what happens is that the best wine is served first, and then after everyone is really, you know, having a great time, then the wine is not so great, it's brought out the end. He said, but you saved the best wine for last, which is just, it tastes amazing. So the other thing that I find interesting about that concept is that here it is that not only did Jesus honor the request that his mother made, but he didn't do it half-heartedly. He did it so well that everyone that was drinking the wine was able to say, is that, wow, the wine that we received last is better than what we had received first. Here it is that we received something that tastes so much better than what we are originally given. And so this even shows how Jesus is committed to giving us his best. I believe that if you look at it, you know, with the situation that related into your own life, is that you can be confident in knowing that when God answers your prayer, is that he's going to do it in a way that is so great, that is so awesome, that it's even going to surprise you. And so this is the confidence that we have with having belief in Jesus. So based upon my own experiences and just even reading this account, you know, of the miracle of Jesus turning the water into wine, I definitely wholeheartedly believe that this occurred. And I think it's a pretty cool account. It just shows the humanity of Jesus. You know, here he is, he's celebrating at a wedding, and he's concerned about making sure that the host is not going to be embarrassed because the wine runs out. And not only is he concerned, but he's concerned enough to give the best. So what about you? Call into the show and let me know what you think. Do you believe or do you not believe? Remember, you can also post on social media and just tag me at Weary Consult. So we're going to go into our next segment titled Let's Be Real. So this is a new segment for the show this month where I started making weekly confessions. And what I do is that I'm transparent and I admit my mistakes and shortcomings, and I'm also honest about how I have made growth in those particular areas. The purpose of this segment is to provide an example of what I believe that we need more of from people of faith, and that is simply people being real. So let's get to it. Let's be real. So my confession for this week is that I have struggled with patience regarding answered prayers. So the reason why it has been difficult for me to have patience in the past regarding, you know, prayers or things that, you know, I really ask for God to really work things out on my behalf is because I really don't like waiting a long time for anything, whether it's waiting in traffic or waiting in line or, you know, going to a particular event and waiting for it to start. I'm the type of person where I want to get there right when it's starting, and, you know, that's it. Like, I don't want to have to be stuck in traffic. I don't want to get stuck in a long line, you know, any of those things. I just really don't like to wait. And even when it comes to surprises as well, I don't like surprises. And not because I don't think surprises are cool. Like, I think they're nice. It's always great to get something unexpected. But I don't like surprises only because I don't like waiting. So, like, if you have a surprise for me, don't tell me, because it's going to really just make me, like, think, oh, my goodness, what is it? And it's, like, the torture of waiting is just not cool for me. And even, like, my friends have learned the hard way of sending gifts in the mail prior to, like, let's say, Christmas or my birthday or any other thing they may be sending. Like, if you tell me beforehand and it gets here early, like, I'm going to open it as soon as I get it. Like, if you tell me to wait, like, oh, wait till Christmas or wait till your birthday, I'm going to open it up as soon as it comes in the mail. And I'll be so excited to get it. And then I'll close it back up, and I'll open it back up again on Christmas and birthday and be just as excited as I was the first time that I opened it. But, you know, again, that's just me. So the process of learning to be patient, the reason why I chose to be committed to learning how to be patient is because being impatient actually resulted in frustration and worry and doubt. And it just really made my life just a lot more difficult and challenging with trying to get through situations and just not being patient and not being able to really trust God enough to know that even in the waiting, that is still something that's going to benefit me. So I decided to go on this whole journey of, you know, learning to be more patient because I wanted to have peace. I wanted to have the assurance and really walk in that. Like, I didn't want to be a person who, you know, taught the good game but didn't live the same one, you know. And so I took the time to really focus on really what it meant to have patience. And I believe really is that patience is comprised of trust and assurance and dependence on God. And you're not going to have that unless you have a relationship with God and you've had times where it's been tested. You know, it's like you can talk a lot about how much faith you have in God, but really faith is nothing until it's tried. It's not until we're in difficult situations in our lives where we can know that, yes, we can be patient in knowing that God is going to handle it all because we've seen him do it before. And so even though it's not fun at all, it's not ideal, and I certainly don't pray for difficult situations to have happen in my life, the one thing that I can say is that I have truly seen James 1, verses 2 through 4, really come true in my life as I'm learning to be more patient. Because although I have made a lot of progress, I can be honest and be real and say I definitely have a little ways to go. And so with James 1, verses 2 through 4, and this is a King James Version, it says, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing." And so the first part of that scripture when it says, you know, my brother, count it all joy, just I can say like a few years ago, you know, when I was going through just a lot of, you know, difficult, challenging, hard situations in my life that it was really hard to be joyful. You know, it's just like when you have just things going wrong back to back to back to back and it just doesn't seem to be a break, it's really difficult to be joyful. It's really difficult to still praise God. But just being miserable and frustrated and angry, it was pointless as well. So it's like I had to come to a point where it's just like, okay, either I don't really try to manifest like the scripture in my life, I really don't try to live this out and I'm miserable anyway, or I actually step out on faith and trust and dependence on God, and I try to really find the joy and be thankful in spite of difficult situations, and Leslie, it just brings me peace. And I can tell you now with being in a place, even right now having some situations that are currently unfolding in my life, is that it's only the peace of God that is keeping me day by day, is that I know there's only God's peace that is enabling me to keep moving forward even in the midst of the challenges that I have and even in the midst of having unanswered prayers. You know, there are some prayers that God has answered. There are some prayers that God has answered in ways that I didn't want it to be answered. And then there's some prayers that still have not been answered. But in the midst of it all, all of that and having just, you know, those challenges that are going on is that I'm still able to find a reason to be thankful. You know, I'm still able to look at my life and to see the things that I have that others don't have. You know, I'm able to look and see the things that are going right. I'm able to look at the opportunities that God has provided even in the midst of this difficult season that I am in. I'm able to look at the success that I'm having. You know, later on the show, I'm going to be making a special announcement about, you know, my first novel and just how that's going to be able to be purchased. And what's so amazing with going through this process of having the different challenges that I'm going through, but then on the other hand, also having these successes and having these opportunities that God is blessing me with is really a humbling experience that I know that's coming out of being patient, that's coming out of trusting God's perfect will. And it's not easy. Like, it's just like, again, I just want to stress the importance of that. It's not easy, but it is rewarding and it is fulfilling. And it's awesome just seeing that how God really shows his love, you know, is that like how his provision is there, how his unconditional abundance and his abundance of peace. And I'm not talking about materialistic things right now, but just talking about having just peace and comfort and assurance and the power and the all-sufficiency of God is that there's no money in the world that can outdo that. There's no money in the world that can pay for that. You can't pay for peace. You can pay for luxury. Even the Bible talks about how money answers all things. You can pay for companionship, but you can't pay for real love. You can't pay for peace. You can't pay for strength, you know, when it comes to your spiritual well-being. So I encourage you to really continue on your own journey of learning to be more patient, allowing patience to really pursue whatever experience you're going through, no matter how much painful it may be, how difficult, how challenging, how frustrating, how unexpected, how heavy it may be to be going through whatever the current circumstances are. Continue to be patient in God's timing, because I promise you that all things will work together for your good as you continue to love God and you answer the call of purpose that is on your life. So at this point in the show, we're actually going to take a brief moment, a brief commercial break, where we're going to listen to our wellness moment with Sharia Farmer. And after we've done that, we'll be right back.
Today's wellness moment is, the wellness moment that I have recently started myself is to actually put down my phone. So when I get home, just like most of us, I normally would have had my phone either glued to my hip or right next to me on the couch or the sofa. And really when it comes down to it, it actually didn't give me enough time to free myself from all the expectations or people having access to me. So really one of my tips of wellness moments is recently something that I've been doing for myself, and it has given me back so much time in my day, is to actually put my phone in a different room when I'm trying to do work, when I'm trying to spend time with my family, when I'm just trying to talk to my husband. So that way I can actually have one-on-one time with either the work I'm doing, the time, one-on-one time with the person I'm spending time with, or whatever, even if it's just listening to some good music and having the phone in a whole other room. Just because people have more access to you doesn't mean it's a good thing. So make sure that you take the time you need to be away from your phone so that you can have some emotional and even some intellectual health, just in terms of getting back to doing some things like reading and writing. And anyway, before I get going on my old another soapbox, you guys be well.
Welcome back to Wellness and Faith with Sherry Leary. You just finished hearing our wellness moment from Sharia Farmer, who is the owner of the RF Counseling and Wellness Center. So remember, you can interact with me online with the various hashtags mentioned throughout the show. If you hear anything during the show that sparks a question or that encourages you or resonates with you, feel free to post on social media with the hashtag NoCompromise, Let's Be Real, or Wellness and Faith. And also feel free to call into the show live. You can dial 347-1154. And if you need that number again, you can go to the show website, which is blogtalkradio.com/RS Wellness. And you can look there at the slides there for the show. So So we're going to go into our next topic, where we are celebrating March, we're celebrating Women's History Month, which is happens every year in the month of March. And in honor of Women's History Month, over the past few weeks, we have discussed women who have made a positive impact in the world. And tonight, we're actually going to be discussing someone that I think is really special, and her name is Michaela Allmar. Now, that's going to seem a little strange because Michaela is actually a child, and she is only 11 years old. So here's the reason why I've chosen to talk about Michaela, because if you've been watching the news, is that you know that she actually recently secured a contract with Whole Foods where her product is going to be sold there, like in the stores. So just to give a little background about how Michaela got started into business. So at the age of 4, she actually entered a business competition, and she entered the Austin Lemonade Day. And at that point, that's when she started selling her lemonade, the sweet lemonade. After attending the competition and selling her own lemonade stand, Michaela decided that she wanted to do more, that she wanted to see her own product in stores nationwide. Now, the inspiration for B-Sweet Lemonade came from two unexpected circumstances. First, it was getting stung by a bee twice in 1 week, and then secondly, with her family receiving a package in the mail from her great-grandmother, and the package was actually a recipe book that included a recipe for lemonade that has flaxseed as an ingredient. Now, prior to deciding to combine these two incidents, Michaela was not too happy with being stung by two bees, but after being stung by the bees, she decided to do some research about bees and to learn about their importance when it comes to maintaining the balance of our ecosystem. And from this, and also looking at the recipe that she received from her great-grandmother, she decided to combine these two experiences and make an awesome product that now is being sold in Whole Foods Market. Now, prior to her product being secured in Whole Foods, she was a contestant on the show Shark Tank. And the show that aired was actually back in March of last year, and Damon John decided to fund her idea with $60,000 and also the promise of 25% of the profit, and that he would help her to secure getting a contract with the nationwide store. So they were actually able to recently meet that milestone, which is pretty awesome to see. And so when you look at even the ingredients of Michaela's lemonade or B-Sweet lemonade, it includes flaxseed, also honey that is locally sourced. And the reason for that is because Michaela is really passionate now about making sure to save honeybees. And a percentage of her proceeds from the sales goes to local and international organizations that are fighting to save bees. If you would like more information on Michaela's B-Sweet Lemonade, you can go to the B-Sweet Lemonade.com and find out so much more information about Michaela's experience as being an entrepreneur at a young age. You can find a link to her Facebook page and also find out information on how you can get involved with saving bees as well. So we're going to go into our last segment for the show, which is our dose of spiritual wellness. And to recap our show, this is where we talk about different tips that we can give based off the lessons of the different segments that we talked about. And these particular three lessons we're going to discuss is information that we can use based off the experiences of Michaela Allmar, who is the owner of B-Sweet Lemonade. So the first dose of spiritual wellness is that you are never, ever too young or even too old to make your dreams come true. A lot of times we will get so caught up in what we believe we can't do, especially when it comes to age. And if you are a younger person and you're listening to the show right now, use Michaela as a huge inspiration. She got started on her entrepreneurial journey at the young age of 4 years old. And so, you know, if you're able to walk, you're able to talk, you have some ideas, absolutely go for it. You can pursue it. You're never too young to go after your dreams and make things happen. As long as you are committed to what you're passionate about, as long as you believe in what you are doing, there's someone else that can benefit from that as well. And so you don't want to let your age of being too young hold you back. And then also even to speak to those, the senior citizens that may be listening to the show as well, is that you're never too old to make things happen. You know, I'm young, so I can't speak from the perspective of being a senior citizen. But one thing I can speak from is the perspective of benefiting from the talent and the wisdom and the love and the compassion that the senior citizens that I know in my life, like even within my church, here, my local church and the church back home, and, you know, other senior citizens that I have the honor of being able to engage with in my life, is that you all are just awesome individuals and you have so much to offer. You may not be able to do everything that you used to do years ago, but there are still contributions that you can make. Even as I'm talking and think about the owner of Sweetie Pies, how, you know, she didn't actually start on her entrepreneurial journey, I believe, and so she was like in her 70s. And here you see that she has multiple locations. You know, she has a syndicated show, a television show as well. And here it is, she did this up in her old age. And so you never want to allow age to be a barrier. Whether you're thinking you're too young or you're thinking you're too old, it's not the case. Your age is simply an obstacle, or rather, instead of looking at your age as an obstacle, you want to look at your age as a simple opportunity to succeed and overcome. You don't want to look at your age as an obstacle. You don't want to look at it as something that is holding you back. You want to look at your age, whether it's you or older age, as an opportunity to overcome and to encourage someone else and to bless someone else with whatever it is that you would like to do, because you will be a blessing. You will benefit someone else. The second lesson that we can take from Michaela's entrepreneurial journey with her starting off so young is that, number two, don't ignore something that is a nuisance or that has hurt you in the past. Everything can be used to foster your success. Now, when I say don't ignore it, I don't mean or encourage unhealthy interactions or unhealthy boundaries when it comes to things that are a nuisance or that really has hurt you, whether it's emotionally, mentally, spiritually, or even physically. You want to make sure that you establish healthy boundaries to prevent that same incident from happening again. However, the other thing I want to add to that is that in addition to now reestablishing healthy boundaries so that you're not hurt again, you want to be able to see whatever that issue or incident was as an opportunity that can foster your success. When you look at Michaela having her business with the Be Sweet Lemonade, she got stung by bees twice in 1 week. And thankfully, I've never been stung by a bee, but I'm terrified of them, both seeing other people being stung by bees. But here it is that she took this opportunity of being stung by the two bees, and she decided to do some research. She decided to look at the benefits of what bees do for our ecosystem, despite having a painful experience and a frustrating experience of being stung twice in 1 week alone. And, you know, even when you've been stung by a bee, you know how painful it can be. But just think of, you know, a young child who's only 4 years old, you know, having that type of experience is going to be even more terrifying as well. But Michaela had the determination to move beyond the painful experience of being stung to see, okay, what can I gain from this? And now, just a few short years later, here she is. She has this product that is now going to be sold in a store, and was securing funding from, you know, a person on Damon John from Shark Tank as well. And so her painful experience is precipitated an opportunity for success. So don't ignore something just because it was painful or it's a nuisance. Establish the healthy boundaries to ensure that you are able to remain healthy, but also gather the lessons from that that can continue to foster your success and your growth. The last thing that we can get from Michaela's life is that you want to be committed to your passion. Michaela has now become passionate about saving bees, and she continues to speak at various events as an advocate and teaching people the benefit of bees and how they help to balance our ecosystem. And so whatever you are passionate about, you want to be committed to it, and don't allow anyone to deter you or to try to make you into something that you're not. If you're passionate about saving bees, be committed to saving bees. Go and find, you know, advocacy opportunities in order to ensure that honeybees are saved. Or if you're committed to, you know, the success of young people, if you're committed to helping those who are homeless, or if you're committed to teaching people about physical wellness or about spiritual wellness, you want to make sure that you stay true to who you are and true to what is going to align with your own personal passions. You don't want to try to be anyone else. You want to be exactly who you are, because being authentic and being genuine is going to provide more opportunities for you to help others as well. So that is all that I have for the show. We're actually going to close out the show and give you a couple of announcements that I'm so excited about. So as always, I've enjoyed this time with you guys, and I look forward to speaking with you next Monday at 7 p.m. In order to listen to the show live, you want to log on to blogtalkradio.com/RSWellness. And if you're not able to catch the show live, you can certainly catch the replays. You can catch the replays at the same website, or you can even go to my own personal website, sherryworry.com, and be connected to not only my shows, but all the shows that RS Counseling and Wellness Center offers at this time. You can connect with me on social media with the various hashtags that we mentioned throughout the show, which is No Compromise, our hashtag moment, Let's Be Real, Wellness and Faith. Or you can use any other hashtag that you come up with yourself. Just remember that you can tag me in those posts by tagging me at Weary Consult, and you can do that at Facebook, Twitter, and on Instagram as well. To find out all things Sherry Weary, you can go to my own personal website, which is sherryweary.com, and you also want to be sure to check out the blog for the RS Counseling and Wellness Center, which is at radiantsunshine.org. You can find tons of helpful wellness tips as well as the guest spots that I contribute there as well. My latest blog, What Are You Feeding Your Soul, is available right now, and my next blog titled I Am will be published in a few days. You also want to make sure that you tune in tomorrow at 12 p.m. Eastern Standard Time here at the same website, which is blogtalkradio.com/RSWellness. Sharia Farmer will be hosting her show, which is titled The Lunch Date, A Social Wellness Break. During her show, she gives tips on how to have healthy relationships, and not just romantic relationships. There's also platonic relationships, familial relationships, and even business relationships as well. So it's really great tips, so make sure you tune in tomorrow at 12 p.m. Eastern Standard Time at blogtalkradio.com/RSWellness for the radio show titled The Lunch Date, A Social Wellness Break. Lastly, I am so excited to continue to announce the fact that my first novel, Walking Through the Pain, will be available for pre-order soon. So if you want to get the latest information about the release date and also how you can make pre-orders, you want to go to my website, sherryweary.com. You can also find me on Facebook by searching for me either at Weary Consult, or you can search for me by my name, Sherry C. Weary. You can also go and check my website. You can follow me on Instagram, and I'm going to be posting all the information regarding details of how to go ahead and pre-order the novel. So it's an awesome book. You can even go look at my website right now, sherryweary.com. You can click on the tab, Sherry in Action, and you can see some initial reviews from the book as well. So it's an awesome book, and I'm not just saying it just because I wrote it, well, partially because of that, but also just because of the positive feedback that I've received from those individuals that have read it as well. So that is all I have. Until we meet again, my prayer for you is that you be well, you will be whole, and that you will be set free. Have an awesome evening.